Okay, so again, Divrei Hayam Aleph Perek Dalet Pasuk Chaf Ches. We are continuing our discussion of the children of Shimon. The first part of the Sefer focused primarily on Shevet Yehuda, and now we're going to go through some of the other Shvatim. We're learning about Shevet Shimon. And Shevet Shimon, we learned yesterday, they were very much connected to Shevet Yehuda, and they lived in their land. They did not get their own chelik in Eretz Yisrael, as Rashi mentioned. Achalkein biYaakov v'afitzein biYisrael, and the girl determined that Yehuda should be the one that should give over part of his land for the children of Shimon. They settled in their land. We learned yesterday about a couple of their families. We went to many midrashim, and we mentioned that even though they lived in the land of Yehuda, they did not multiply, their population did not grow at the same rate as their neighbors, Yehuda. A very important halach that you learned, that it's not the makom that causes you to have children. There's something else, there's a special hashkacha, b'ni chayim zoneid, b'mal yitali milso, why a person is zoche to have many children, why families, some families multiply, others do not. That we see there's nothing to do with where you live, location, because they live together, and yet the families of Shimon did not multiply to the same rate as the families of Yehuda. Now, Pasuk Chaf Ches tells us exactly the locations where they indeed lived. Vayeshvu, the children of Shimon, they lived, Be'er Sheva, came Be'er Sheva, Umoylada, Vachatzar Shual. Okay, those are three places. Pasuk Chaf Ches, Uvevilha. I think the Mefarshim, I saw this in the art scroll. Revilla says this place was named after Bila. Right? There's Bila and Zilpa. We don't know much about them. Very mysterious people. They just were the mother of some of the Shvatim, but we don't find them in the Torah doing very much. We have Rachel and Leah, their conversations, there are deeds, there are stories. Bila and Zilpa are very mysterious people. We mentioned them in the Kinnis. In the kinus of Ayezu Chusavos, Kina Chavav, we find Bila and Zilpa pounding on their heart, clapping their hands in anguish over the Churban of their children of Klal Yisrael. It's a very interesting kina where we do find them actually doing something. Right? You don't really find Bila and Zilpa doing anything, actions. In that kina, it's mentioned they were doing something. Okay, but here we have a city. We have an entire city named after Bila, name of a city, Uve Vilha, Uve Etzem, Uve Salad, three different cities. And one of the cities was Bila. Some of these cities appear in Sefer Yehoshua, but by different names. The names are not exactly the same. And that requires explanation. I didn't get that far in my preparation to see the significance, the difference between why certain cities were named one way in Sefer Yehoshua. And there's a slightly different the variation of the city. The letters are slightly different here in Divrei Hayam. What happened in between the time of Yehoshua and Divrei Hayamim when the name of the city, it changed slightly? Okay, whatever that is. Pasuk Lamed, Uviv Suel, another city. Could very well be, it was named after Besuel, Uvi Chorma, Uvi Tziklag, another three cities. It's also interesting, we mentioned this when we learned the being of Divrei Hayam, that cities are grouped together. The fact that they're put together in one pasuk is also significant. We totally lost from us, but this must have been some type of alliance. Like in the Kinos, you learned about the cities along the Rhine. So there were many cities that were affected by the Crusades, the First Crusade, but yet we only focus on, in the Kinos, three. On Ashpira, Varmiza, Magensia. Speyer, Worms, and Mainz. And those three cities formed an alliance back 1,000 years ago, 1096. An alliance, there's the name of the city, they were Shum. We call Kihilois Shum. Shin is Ashpira, Speyer. The Vav in the middle is Varmiza. And the Mem is Magensia. So those three cities had an alliance together. They were takanos that were enacted, and those takanos were accepted in these three sister communities. So here you find such a concept. It's not something to be ignored, that the psukim here are broken up We mentioned that we learned in the beginning of Divrei HaYamim with names, just like we have names that are broken up into one pasuk. You could have put 5 or 10 names in one pasuk, and yet Ezra chose to break them up into smaller psukim. That says something. That means, I mean, I don't know what it means. A lot of this is loshon lasi. You look maybe very deeply in the history of the cities, you may find some type of similarities. But we have here three. We have cities grouped: Be'er Sheva, Molad, Chatzar, Shrol. Those are three. Then we have Bila, Be'etzem, V'Soilad, and now we have another three: Uviv Suel, Uviv Charma, Uviv Siklag. 3, 3, 3. Instead of putting them in one big pasuk, 9 pasuk Lamed Aleph. Uviv Beis Markavos, number 10. See, number 10 was called Beis Markavos. I saw in the art school they must have been a place where they manufactured chariots, like Detroit. Right? No, it's not a joke. Just like today, that's what they did. That's what the industry was. Like, there are certain cities, which city they make navy ships, they make for the government. A whole city, certain cities, they have a contract. They make, which city, where is it, New Jersey somewhere? The whole city. Connecticut? The whole, the submarines, so the government, the whole industry, that's the whole city. Everyone who lives there, you work for the government.
Indiana with the steel and the...
Exactly, you're part of an industry, so this is all part of the economy. It's an ancient concept, going back to the time of Chazal. That's where their parnassa came from. They manufactured chariots for the whole region, and that's why it was called the Veis Marukavos. Uvechatzar Susim, another industry where they did things for horses, whatever that means. Uvebeis Biri, Uveshaarayim, these names of places, I have no idea what these things are. Elu Odehem, these are their cities. Now here we come to something very fascinating, very hard to understand. A lot of these things that we're going to see until the end of the parak, we have to finish the parak today, are hard to understand. But Eila Odehem, all of these are the cities where the children of Shimon lived, Ad Meloch David, until David came to power. Now what does that mean? So let's see the Mitzudos and then we'll see Rashi. Tzudos Pasik Chavches Vayeshvu Bever Shava Pasuk Chafes Mitzudos David Ha'odim Ha'elu Ha'yu Benachlas Yehuda. These were cities that were in Yehuda, in Yehuda. V'nidna L'bnei Shimon L'Shaves B'chem. Like we learned yesterday, Yehuda was very generous. They had no choice. It was part of the goyel. The girl told them that they have to be the ones that will give a part of their land to B'nei Shimon B'chem. V'niskadim Himo B'sef Yeshua K'tzas B'chilof Hashemos. If you look in Sef Yeshua, you'll discover these are the same cities. We have here whatever they are. There are 10, 15 cities, whatever there are. And you'll find similar names with slight variation. Next, Lamed Aleph, Eilo Rehem, Asher Yashu Bohem. These are the cities which Shimon lived in. Ad, they did not stay there forever. It was only temporary. It was only until the days of David. Avol Kasher Molach David. Look what happened here. This is really shocking. When David HaMelech came to power, Gavra Yad B'nei Shifto, the people of Shevet Yehu decided, enough, leave. They were evicted.
So where are they supposed to go?
Oh, so we'll see. In the next week, when they went to conquer other lands. They conquered other lands in Eretz Yisrael, along the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael, other nations. We'll see. It's not clear. I don't know the exact details. And it could be that we don't know. It could be some of this is lost from us. But they went to conquer other portions of land that were available, either that was part of Eretz Yisrael proper, or part that was on the boundary of Eretz Yisrael and was annexed to Eretz Yisrael. I guess they would mekadesh it. That's another concept of can you sanctify lands that are not part of the biblical boundaries to get the kedusha of the land. We find that concept la'asalava when Mashiach will come. Did that apply even during the time of the kibush rishon of Yehoshua and Ezra? So that is something which is a very interesting topic. But here it says they only lived in Shevet Yehuda until David came to Melech David. Avol Kasher Melech David Gavra Yad B'nei Shivda Ugarshum. Powerful word. They were driven out. Minachalasam. Al, why? Why would B'nei David, why would Yehuda be so mean to evict their neighbors? They needed the space. They needed their grandchildren, their great-grandchildren didn't have enough space. Al ki nisrabu, they were increased in number. V'hoyitzar lohem hamakum l'sheves im B'nei Shimon. There was not enough room. Shevet Yehuda did not have enough room for their own families, and they told the Shimon, who was living there for probably hundreds of years, shocking, hundreds of years, told their own brothers, leave. pasuk,
are they obligated to keep them?
It seems that was the agreement. The Goral, so you're asking a very good question, but the Goral said that Bnei Yehuda should give it to them. I don't know what the answer is. Either you have to say that was part of the deal, the girl was only a temporary measure. To say that it was done illegally, is it derech eretz?
Right.
I don't know the answer.
We don't want to go.
Before David the Melech, David was the Melech. The king does whatever he wants.
And the judge. Didn't do it because it wasn't Shevet Yehuda.
This is a tough question. So how do you look like today? You look at it like, you know, America's still struggling with the Indians. Like, is it really fair?
You don't know, for example. I mean, it's not stated whether they were offered.
You don't know. It doesn't say that. Were they Gorshum? Gorshum is a very powerful word. Okay, that's the mitzudas. It's a tough. We don't know. A lot of the history has been lost from us. I don't know. You look in Mefarshim. I was able to go through a lot of Mefarshim. I mean, whatever I was able to go through, no one elaborates. Listen,
that they let him in five cities.
Yeah, those are next possibility. Those are the next ones, right? Those are, but right, those they let them stay, right? That's the next possibility. But these, like, I think what are the 12, 13 cities listed above here, they all were evicted. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi makes it even more strong. Rashi says it with even more powerful words. The Mitzudas is gentle compared to what we're going to see in Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Chavches, Vayeyeshu B'ver Sheva, B'nei Shimon, Yoshu B'osna Yaros, Shel Yehuda, Lamed Aleph, Elu Arehem ad Miloch David Pisron Kama. What is the interpretation of this pasuk? So here we go. Kishahir b'bnei Yehuda, when Yehuda multiplied in number during, now this Rashi we'll see even earlier, before the time of David. Go back even a generation before. Also tarumois, they had complaints. They lodged complaints against their brothers, al b'nei Shimon, and this took place mimei Shol, a generation before David. It was not many years, but it was at least one generation. V'rotzu l'garsha me'artzam, and they wanted to evict Shimon from their land already before. V'lo ha'yachol l'garsham, but Shimon did not allow. Shimon said, "We're not going nowhere. We're staying put. We have nowhere to go." V'yafki ha'yachol yama b'tirdo v'muhamos. Even though, now I read this 10 times. I really don't understand who we're referring to. Even though Kol Yamav of whose Yamav, Shimon, I think it means Shimon's days were Betirdev and Muhammad, or both Yehuda and Shimon. In other words, what he means today is they never really were settled permanently. That's what he seems to be saying. It wasn't like you're uprooting someone that's really firmly established. They were. All the years from the time of Yehoshua to the time through the 400 years of the Shoftim, it's a long period of time. The Shoftim, I think, was 400 years, if I'm not mistaken. All the way until the time of David and Shaul, they never really were settled because there was always battles. They were always trying to conquer the land and secure the land. So they never really had a chazakah. A stronghold. Shimon never had a strong, established yishuv in their land. So it would have been very easy now when things got better at the end of the days of the Shoftim. They're now coming to build soon the Beis HaMikdash. It would seem very easy for Yehuda to insist that Shimon, time is now for you to leave. Yeah.
Or that Shoftim didn't have this as a priority issue.
Right, that's what Rashi's saying. Rashi's going to say this in a few moments. Shaul, right, it was the priority.
At the beginning.
Right, but I think what Rashi is saying, it should have been very easy. It should have been very easy for Yehuda, if they really insisted that Shimon leave, it should have been very easy to do because Shimon never really had a strong achiza in the land because they were always in a state of tirda and muhammad. Everything was temporary. They were living in trailers. Everyone was living in trailers those days, for 400 years. No one really had a strong foothold in the land. Temporarily, you can live here. Okay, now 400 years have passed since we've conquered the land. Things are already pretty established. You know, Shimon, I think it's time to take your RVs and go find another park, another place to park them. It should have been easy, right? Shimon said, no, we're not going nowhere. Too bad. too bad. We like it here. We're staying here. And Yehuda could not do anything about it, even though, if you look in the history books, it's L'chor should have been easy. However, when Shaul was out, when Shaul died, and David became king, David's Malchus was firmly established, and which Shevet did David come from? Oh, Yehuda! Shaul is from Shevet Binyamin. The authority, this is the Yehuda, we're dealing with Yehuda. Yehuda is this, so who's the king? The king, yeah, he's on the other side of the coast, right? Don't bother us with government. Government is on the other side, is on the east coast. We're living on the west coast, so we don't feel the toikif of Malchus, but now that David's in control and this is David's land, the king will get it done.
Shaul didn't want, because David came from Shevet Yehuda, and he had animosity towards David. So he said, okay, let's stick it to Shevet Yehuda.
Right, right. So here we have Molach David. Let's see, Boaz, yeah?
Eminent domain.
Right, eminent domain. Then he's the Malchus. He's eminent domain, exactly. Molach David. So now they were first to try with diplomacy, right? Try to be good. So now look what it says here. These Rashi's words are very precise. So the Shevet, David Shevet Yehuda came Lishol to make a request. Shimon, you know, we only lent you space. We never gave you permanent rights in our land. This was a temporary arrangement that lasted for 400 years. It's now time for you to leave. We lent you land. We need it back for our family. Please leave. V'holach David v'gorsham, and David came and he succeeded. He told them goodbye and they left. So why didn't Shaul, why couldn't the Shevet of Yehuda do this a generation before, 50 years before? Ki Shaul lechoshash b'kach. B'meisinas David, adraba. Shaul and David didn't get along. Shaul shem b'binyamin. When Shaul found out there was a dispute, there was a land dispute between Yehuda and Shimon, so Shaul said, shocking what it says here in this Rashi. So Shaul said, yeah, good, let Yehuda suffer. Let them suffer. Because who's in Yehuda? David, my nemesis. David's there. Good. So let Yehuda, let David have a hard time. Shocking things to say. Right? Today, you open up your mouth, you say a bad word about what's going on in the political scene, you get into a lot of trouble today. It's not politically correct, yeah.
No, but, okay, so we have to distinguish between legally and administratively.
Okay.
So this is all talking about an administrative.
Yeah, okay. So David lechoshash b'kach v'mnei sinas David shoyim Yehuda v'zeu shekosav, and that's what it means here in this pasuk. What it says in the pasuk: Ele oreim ad. These are their cities. Ad miloch David. Only lasted until David Hamelech came to town. Ushamolach. When David, and we mean David as opposed to Shaul, Gershom. Powerful stuff. He drove them out. Powerful word. Drove them out. Who says this? Sirashi, I didn't say this. Don't blame me. Don't blame me for not being politically correct. Nipi Rabbi Eliezer Bar Meshulam Zichrono Levracha V'chein Perish Li Rabbi Shlomo Bar Levi Achei Rabbi Moshe Hadarshan. Okay, so Rashi is backing himself. Very rarely do you find Rashi coming to back himself up. That's what they were from Shevet Yehuda.
Well, Rashi was?
Said
so, yeah.
Okay, so.
Most Jews that
we think my brother would say that
they're not the first time the Jews.
Right.
Uh-huh. Okay.
This story is reported in other places.
I don't know. Possibly not. No, I don't think so. I don't think this explicit. I don't know.
But we know that Shevet Shimon left you. That's described.
But we don't know why, how. I mean,
so this is embellishing the fact.
Yeah.
But it's recorded in
that they left.
Yeah.
I'm not even sure it is. I don't know. Maybe it is. And you're sure we know that they got a chelik in Shevet Yehuda. That's all we know. That stops there. Maybe in Sefer Shmuel it alludes to it. I don't think so. I'm not a bucky. I haven't learned Shmuel in a long time, but I don't. That's not the focus of Shmuel to tell us what happened with the Shvatim. It's a very shocking Rashi. It's a very shocking story. I mean, okay, that is what it says. Let's go further. Now we come to more places. Pasuk Lamed Beis Vachatzeirehen. Now Chatzeirehen means a unwalled city. Right, that's how it's used in this context. That's what the Mitzvah Sion explains. So we have Ayaros. The previous three psukim, starting from Pasuk Chav Ches and Chav Tes and Lamed, are cities. Those are cities that have real walls. They are secure locations. These are locations that are not secure. These also were settled by Bnei Shimon. Vachatzrehem. Number one is Etam, V'ayin, Rimon, V'sochen, V'oshan, 5, or Rim Chamesh. So Mitzvah says, what's the other contradiction? First, you say they were Chatzrehem, which means they are unwalled cities. And then you say they're Orim. So what is it? Is it a city or is it an unwalled city? An ear normally has a connotation that it has a wall. So the Mitzvah is going to say they were unwalled. And they were cities, but relative to the cities mentioned in the previous pasuk, they were not as significant. Let's just see to clarify in the Mitzvah's pasuk Lamed Beis the Chatzrehen Avol Chatzrei Ha'odim Shezachar Heim Etam. These are other locations. The Avsh Amash B'Soif HaMikra Orim Chamesh, it says the word Orim, so the beginning of the pasuk is coming to clarify, do not be misled by the word ear at the end. These are unwalled cities, Mikol Mokom El Mul HaOrim Shezocha B'Rishayna, relative to the cities that we mentioned in the previous few psukim, the Yechoshu Kechatzerim, they're insignificant. In other words, maybe they did have a wall, doesn't really explain well. They did have a wall, didn't have a wall, but these were minor relative to what was mentioned above. Okay, next. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Let's do some psuk, maybe then we'll come back to do some rashis if there are. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. V'chol chatzrehem asher svivo sa'odim ha'ela ad bo'al. Okay, and all the other open areas that surrounded the cities mentioned above until the place called Bo'al. No idea what this is. It was a place, it was known to them. And these were all villages, open areas, that were settled by Shimon in the territory of Yehuda. And now the pasuk concludes, Zos Moshvosam Vehis Yachsam Lohem. And there's a lot going on over here. Everything mentioned here in pasuk Lamed Gimel, in contrast to pasuk Chof Ches, to Lamed Beis, are places which they got to keep permanently. In other words, Pasuk Chav Ches to Pasuk Lamed Beis, we mentioned about 15 cities, whatever they were. All of those to Pasuk Chav Beis, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Pasuk Chav Ches, Chav Tes, Lamed Aleph, those four psukim, we mentioned cities, which concluded Ad Moloch David, that was it. Their lease ended, it expired, they left, they no longer settled there. But everything mentioned Pasuk Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel remained in the possession of Shimon forever, or at least until the time of the Churban by Yisrishon, that was permanently theirs. While looking Rashi and Mitzvus Lamed Gimel, Hayom Oyla Heim Etam Ad Boal Hachatzeros Hamagios Ad Boal, in name of a place Zos Hamochos Hazos, this village, this open area, Nishora Lohem Loshev Espa, remained their property forever. Vehis Yachsam. Now Rashi, the Mitzvus, almost all the Mepharshim is a Radak. And there's a Rashi, and there is a Mitzudos. They all are very disturbed with this word. The word Yichus is a word that usually defines lineage, genealogy. A person, you come from a family. Who is your father? Who is your grandfather? It is a term that is used solely by human beings. You don't use the word in reference to a city to a physical location. So right away the Mitzudos, an alarm is going off. Well, what is this word here? These Zos Moshvosim, these are their dwelling places. The His Yachsom Lohem, and their genealogy. What genealogy? There is no genealogy. We're discussing over here of locations. So he explains, HaMekoymos Lo'ela Nish'aru Miuchosos Livnei Shimon. Here it's going to be, what is going to say, a borrowed term. They remained associated. We're going to translate the word miyuchasos to mean associated with the children of Shimon. Then he goes on in the parentheses to take note. V'im ki ikar shem yichus hunach al gilui mishpachas so'ish. Even though it's true that the word yichus is a reserved term to refer to genealogy, father, mother, ladas mibnei mihu, where you come from, hine. Behold, Hushal, in this context, it is borrowed. It's a borrowed term in this context, Al Higolos, on the revelation, Ho'ir, of a city, of a physical location, Lodas, to know, Shalmihu, who does this city belong to? V'chein Al Higolos, Ho'ish, Lodas, in another example where we find this borrowed term, when we relate a person to a nation, that's also not the real use of the word yichus. Yichus strictly means who your mother and father is. Yichus, you don't use the word yichus to tell you which nation you come from. Which ummah? Am I an Egyptian? Am I ethnicity? I can't pronounce it. Forget it. I give up. Where you come from? Which nation you come? You're a Mitzri? Are you an Edomi? Are you from America? Okay, that's I once went to a place. I once went out of town. No, in Europe they were little shtetlach, right? So when you went to yeshiva, you had a yeshiva. Though those days yeshiva, say you go to Mir Yeshteret Sholsa. I don't know. There are 5,000 students in the European yeshivas. The whole Europe, there weren't even 5,000 people sitting and learning. There were only maybe 1,000 people at most, not even sitting and learning. But and you had a yeshiva, so the yeshiva had maybe 30 people, 50 people. You know, these big yeshivas. How many people were learning there? 30, 50 people. So you used to have every person came from a different town. You didn't have two people that came from Flatbush. You had at most one student who came from Flatbush, one student who came from Borough Park, one student who came from Cleveland. You came from this little shtetlach. So you were known not by your last name, you were known by your city. Right. You were known by your city. So I went out of town somewhere, and it was an old time European who was like, you know, like one probably like from one of the mentality from the survivors of the pre-war mentality, and he says to me, "Oh, where do you?" And he's like, out of town far. Where do you come from? I said, from Brooklyn. So we're in Brooklyn? From Flatbush. So he says, oh, you're the Flatbusher. The Flatbusher. And he always called me, he never called me by my name, not my first name, by my last name. He referred to me, but he's the Flatbusher. The one that comes from Flatbush. Right, exactly, right.
Also rabbis call themselves like
exactly. Right. So that's what he says. See, that's called yichus. But that's an abuse of the word yichus. That's not the way you say yichus. Yichus means who is your mother, who is your father, who is your grandmother, who is your grandfather. That's the way yichus was meant to be translated. Here, he's giving us another example where we connect a person to a town, that, or from a nation. You come from Mitzrayim, from Edom, from so and so, or in this example, you come from a physical location. That is what he's saying. It's a very interesting concept, which he brings out here in this Mitzudos. And the other example is, Hushal is a borrowed term, Al Higolos Ho'ir Lodas Shalmihu V'chein. Another example, Al Higolos Ho'ish Lodas Me'eze Amhu, from which nation he comes from, O Me'eze Mokoim, or which place, V'chein, where do we find this? V'chein Korah HaMedaktikim Lehayut Shal Mitzri. An Egyptian, he's a Mitzri. So the word the Yud, Mitzrayim is the place. Mitzri means you are a member of the nation of Mitzrayim. Mitzri.
The Yud is the ER.
And what is the Yud called in this in diktuk, in this terminology, this lexicon? It's called the Yud Hayachas. the Yud Hayachas. That's what it's called. So that's what it's over here. Now we can go back and we can appreciate what it says in the Pasuk. It says Zos, Moshe Son. Now, by the way, the word Zos, it's not grammatically correct. If we were writing in Hebrew, we would get an F of the course, because Zos is singular. And it should say Ele. Elin Moshe Son. That's what the name of the Gross says. So one of them, they're all box. Someone on the page says that Zos is not the right word. It should say Ele Moshe Vosam Vihis Yach Sam Lohem, because we're dealing with multiple locations. So why did it say Zos? That's a style of writing. You can get away with it with Tanakh, but you can't get away with it in your Hebrew class. What? Or Elu, fine, but not the word Zos. Zos is singular, it should be plural, but that is a style of writing. We refer to multiple locations with a term that's B'loshon Yochid. So Zos Moshe Vosav Hisyach Samlohem, and this is the place that was connected, associated with Shevet Shimon forever. They got to keep these locations, even though it was only given to them temporarily. There was a lease, and the lease expired, and there was obviously some struggle to get rid of them. They succeeded, at least in these selected locations, these minor cities and villages, to keep for themselves, unlike what we learned in the first four psukim, where they had no choice but to pick themselves up and leave, because David HaMelech insisted that you be driven out of the land, because we need the place for our own families.
Was this because of the generosity of Yehuda?
It's not clear, it doesn't say. Or because they won, called the Olam Gvar, right? They said, you throw us out of here, we'll go to war. There was some agreement. We don't know. I mean, look at the Indians in the United States. They're still fighting over it. They're still trying to...
Arrangement. Agreement. Yeah.
A lot of this has been lost from us. Maybe there are some records. There's some reliable source to tell us exactly what happened. These things are way before they... kept records. I once heard a very interesting sharing, maybe it was from J.J. Schachter. Very interesting share is that this idea, today we're very into recording history. It's a big thing today. You know, historians, you have a whole staff, the President of the United States, a whole staff recording everything, Sefer HaZichronos. This is a new concept. In ancient times, it wasn't an issue. There was no interest in recording events, recording history. It's not important. There is a study. We're in a frame of mind today, living in this generation. Yes, everything has to be recorded. Whatever happens, there has to be a record. For why? I don't know. That's the way we are. There has to be a record for posterity. In going back in history, the further back you go, it wasn't that they didn't keep records. They didn't care to keep records. It's not just, okay, we don't have pen and paper, we don't have a staff, we don't have the technology to keep records. No, they did have the technology to keep records. They just don't care. Why don't they care? They're in a different frame of mind that we have a very difficult time relating to. So, a lot of it has been lost because it just wasn't an issue.
And a lot of the record keeping was one point of view. Whereas now we have many points of view, always arguing about what really happened.
What really happened. That's just, it's also very interesting, right? It's also...
I mean, one point of view, you hear like Josephus, you only hear...
Yeah, exactly. Look at the Crusades. The Chronicles. So there are only really three records, major chronicles of the Crusades. There's the Christian view. There's some famous... You have to look at the documentaries. There's some famous people who you know, they were professionals at the time. And they were from the Christian side and from the Muslim side. And then there was someone else, and we have to, a lot of all the documentaries and the studies, all the history books are based upon these three chronicles of what happened. And like I said, there's only three points of view.
Now everyone has a blog, so how do you argue with
the British history book for our founding fathers, criminals?
It's all wrong.
Because their version of they rose up.
Did they call the Yerugunwas criminals?
Okay, let's look at the Rashi. Rashi says pretty much the same thing. Paslam Gimel Zos Moshe Vosam Vehisyach Sam Lohem Pisroin. What is the interpretation? So here Rashi has a different interpretation of the Mitzudos. Even though here we miyachis kan miktsasam. Even though here we only are listing a few, we're winding down the end of Shimon. I mean, not really, I have a little more to go, but we only listed a few families of Shimon. We start here going back with Pasig Chav Dalid B'nei Shimon. That's it? That's all Shimon had? Shimon must have had hundreds of families. How come we're only listing these few families? So Rashi says, even though we're only listing over here, Kan Miktsasan, Al Taim Ashloha Yuki Imoisam, do not say that these were the only ones. Shayesh Sefer Yichus Acher. There's another book. You find me that book. I don't know where that book is. There's another book. Vesham Hayu Yichusan Kol Shevet Veshevet Kach Hayu Lefarish Yichusoy Bifnei Atzmo. And in that Shevet, it went and goes, gives out the genealogy of every single family. We're only listing here just a few of the families. And
so Rashi wants to keep the word Yichus on people. Is that what that's?
Yes, very right, right. Yeah, it's a very good point. I didn't think of that exactly. Rashi seems to, right, Rashi is learning here, not like the Mitzudos, that the word Yichus is a very pure word. It's Yachsam only to genealogy. Don't go mix it up with cities. And therefore, it refers to people. So what people? It's going back on the beginning of this section, that these people we're listing, this is just a few of them. Zos Moshvosam, this Yach Lohem, to them. The ones that Lohem here is, and the ones that we're listing over here, the genealogy of these few people, but be aware, it's a miut. Lohem, there's a lot more. Where are they? Go search and you'll find it. So it's right, Rashi preserves the integrity of the word. Yichus genealogy not referred to, at least in Tanakh. Maybe, I mean, the Medaktikim will come along, the Yud HaYachas, that you can argue with. But at least in Tanakh, you have to at least attempt to preserve the integrity of the word. Okay, now we come to people. Pasuk Lamed Aled begins to list a long list of people. Now, this is really a continuation. Well, let's review what happened. The people of Shimon told, people of Yehuda said to Shimon, you know, our families have expanded, we need the space, we need the cities, we want you to leave. So they say, okay, we'll leave. So we have now a long list of distinguished leaders that actually picked themselves up and left. And they waged war. It's hard for us to understand exactly. I mean, Hashem, if it's part of Canaan, then Hashem told you. That's what Hashem said to you, you should conquer the land. If it's not part of Canaan, it's outside of Eretz Yisrael, you're just waging war to expand your boundaries. Today, to us, that would be viewed as an aggressor. It's how is that to be understood in modern times? We're in a different frame of mind. We don't really understand. But these people from Shevet Yehuda, they got up and they left and they went to conquer other lands, either that were part of Eretz Yisrael or that was outside of Eretz Yisrael. So here we go. Here are a long list of names: Umeshevav, the Yamlech, the Yoshua ben Amatzion, the three people. Number Pasuk Lamed Hey, the Yoyel, the Yehu ben Yoshivya, those ben Suraya, ben Asiya. Okay, that's here the long list of Yichus that person. Next, Pasuk Lamed Vav, the El Yo Einai, the Yaakoiva, the Shochoya, the Asoya, the Adiel, the Simiel, Uvinoya, a long list of people, Pasuk Lamed Zain, the Ziza Ben Shifi, Ben Aloin, Ben Yidoya, Ben Shimri, Ben Shemaya. Here we have to give the list of the Yichus, this person, all the way back to Shemaya. Ela, those people mentioned in those few psukim, starting Pasuk Lamed Aleph and Pasuk Lamed Ches, Haboim B'Shemos, which this is an unusual term, which it's an expression which means they were known, they were renowned, well known people. They were bought with their names. When their names were mentioned, people said, okay, wow, you took note of their name. They came with their names, Nisi'im. They were princes in their families, uveisavosehem, and among the heads of their fathers, partsu larov, they multiplied very much. Now we know from the previous section of this perek that even though they multiplied in abundance, they still did not reach the numbers of Yehuda. What did they do, these people? This long list of people that were of renown and multiplied, they represented very large families. Vayelchu, they left. Limvo Gidar, that's the name of a place. Limvo means to the coming of Gidar. Ad l'mizrach ha-goy, to the east of the valley. I don't think we know where this is. L'vakesh mire litzoynam, to seek pasture for their sheep. They left. They left Yehuda. They went out to go find a place to live, and especially a place for their cattle. Vayimtzu mire shomein v'tov. And they succeeded. They found pasture that was fat and good. V'yoretz rachavas yodayim. And the land was very large. V'sheketes u'sheleva. And this is very interesting. It was very peaceful. Now we're going to see there are different interpretations of what this means, but simply means the inhabitants of this land were not experienced in warfare. Since the time they settled, going back from Noach, after the Mabel, we're going to see these were people, it says over here, Ki minchom hayoshim sham lefonim. The people here were living here all the way back from the time of Noach's son. Shem Chom v'Yefes. Chom was one of Noach's sons. After the Mabel was over, Chom settled down in a certain area, a certain land, and he had a family, and they grew, they populated the land, and that was a very long time ago. I don't know the exact numbers. It could be even 1,000. How many years is it since the Mabel, whatever it was, 1,000 years? And they never, ever had a war. They always were at peace with their neighbors. So they did not have a military. They did not have a defense force. They did not have weapons. They were vulnerable. If another nation would come who was experienced in warfare, would come and attack them, they would wipe them out in 10 seconds. Because they lived a life that was sheketes u'sheleva. And therefore it was very easy for a few warriors of Shevet Shimon to wipe out a whole country. Because the people of Shevet Shimon for the last 400 years are fighting very difficult battles with the Pelishtim. They're very well experienced in the art of war. And this nation, Chom, who's living in this land, never, they don't even know what a bow and arrow looks like. They don't know what a gun looks like. So it was a piece of cake. It was a piece of cake for them to come and wipe them out. And that's what it says here, Pasuk Nemalef, Ayavohu Eila, Hakasuv and the Shemos. So it says here that these people that are mentioned by names, mentioned in the previous Pesukim, and Pasuk Lamedalit, Bimei Yechizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, they came during the time of Yechizkiyahu Melech Yehuda, which was in the middle of the time of the Bayis Rishon, Vayaku, and they smote Es Oholehem, their tents, V'es Hameunim. Hameunim is the name of a place. It's either the name of a nation, name of a place. Asher Nimsu Shama, V'yacharimum. They obliterated them. Ad Hayom Azeh, to such a degree, they're wiped off the face of the earth. Because many times when there's a war, when one nation attacks another nation, and they win, when years later, 100, 200, 300 years later, when the conqueror leaves, goes into exile, the original people who used to live there, they come back to repossess their land. But here, the children of the Shimon, they were so powerful and they inflicted such damage on this civilization, there were no survivors. So they never bothered coming back to reoccupy the land when Shimon went into Golos at the time of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, or even before that, the time of Sancheirav, the Aseres HaShvatim, whenever they went into Golos, and this land was desolate, the original people who lived here, the Bnei Chum, never came to reoccupy the land because there were no survivors left. Ad Hayom Azeh, Vayeshu Tachtem, and they lived there, Ki Mira Letzoinim Sham, and the people of Shimon lived there because there was excellent pasture for their sheep. Okay, let's look at the Mitzudas starting with all these Pesukim. Pasek Lamed Hey. Pasek Lamed Hey, Elu Habohim B'Shemos Rotzeleimar, Elu Haniskarim B'Shmosam, all of the people mentioned, starting from Pasek Lamed Dalet through Lamed Zayin, Hayu Nisim, they were princes, B'Mishbechosam, in their families, U'Beis Avosehem, and among their heads of their fathers. Two different expressions, I don't know the exact difference, but basically means that they were princes and leaders in their respective families. Hischazku Lihios Amrav, they strengthened themselves to become a mighty nation. Belo Yochul L'Sheves Behamachos HaNishar. And when they came to some type of agreement with Yehuda, Yehuda said, listen, you gotta go. We'll give you a little bit. We'll give you a small piece of land that you can stay in. But for these families, the amount that was agreed upon was not sufficient. They decide they have to go out and find more, another place to live. Vayelchu pasik lametesin the mitzvahs. They left. Ulezeh holchu aramakam shabohim ba el gede. They came to this place called Limavo Gidar, Levakesh mekaymire, and they came across this land, and it was an excellent land. It was pasture, rachavas yedayin, mekaymos rachavos ugedolos, large open space. It was perfect. Vishaketes ushalev. Two beautiful words. It was peaceful. What does that mean? Tranquil. Amo, the nation, Chom, the nation, the descendants of Noach's son Chom, Yosheves behashket, in tranquility. The Eino Nishmeres min hamilchama. It never had the need during all of these years to protect itself from an enemy to learn the trade of war. Ki mincham, ki hema mibnecham hayoishrim shama miyamim kadmoinim. They were living there for 1,000 years. V'lo haya mi ma'arer al atzartzam. No one ever came to complain to wage war on their land. Lios, so that they would need to have a military, have a defense force. Nishmarim min hamulchama.
Very unusual, because usually when you have ancient land, I mean, that's
so it was very easy for them to conquer the land. Okay, now let's go. Let's run to pasuk. Okay, pasuk Nemalov Haksub Meshemos Heim Shevach. So these people that are mentioned by name in pasuk Nemalov, we learn that those people that are mentioned by name, Shevach the Yimloch, those going back to pasuk Lamedal, they came to conquer. And what did they conquer? They conquered Es Oholeim Ratzolaymar Yoshvei Oholim. There were people who lived in tents, nomads. Hameoinim Shem Umo. Ma'on. It's a name of it. The name of the nation was called Ma'on. Ma'on means an abode, right? The Shechina is in the Ma'on. It's a name of a place. It means an abode. That was the name of the nation. The nation was called Ma'on, and they were conquered by B'nai Shimon, and they did such a good job of wiping them out, of decimating them. They're gone forever. A scary pasuk. Ad Hayom Hazeh. Rotzolaymar nechremu v'nevdu misham. They were wiped out and lost from there. Ad hayom hazeh v'loy chazru. They never came back to reoccupy their land. Af la'achar shagolu Yisrael me'aretzah. Now that wasn't so much later. That was only 200 years later, or even less, because Aseres HaShvatim went into Golus 150 years before the Churban Bayis Rishon, and Shimon was from Aseres HaShvatim. But whatever it means, there wasn't so many, not more than 200 years from the time that they conquered the land until they left the land, and there were no survivors from that nation of Ma'on to come back and reoccupy the land, because the decimation of the Churban of that nation was so great. That's how it was. Vayeshu after they wiped them out, they dwelt in that land. Kimoko Mirihiv Hutabinim was an excellent land. Okay, let's finish up the peg very quickly. And some of them. Okay, so everything we learned pasuk. So everything we learned pasuk lamed aleid. We had the whole long of the list of names and pasuk from lamed aleid through lamed zayin. Those people who were distinguished Nisian leaders wiped out the nation of Chom. Next, we're not finished. Umehem, there were some other people from the families of Shimon, min b'nei Shimon, not part of the people listed in Pasuk Lamed Dalet to Lamed Zayin, a different group of people. Holchul Har Seir. So now this is a different land. Now b'nei Chom, I do not know if the b'nei Chom was living in Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't say that. So if they were living in Eretz Yisrael, Hashem said, conquer the land. We don't ask questions. Hashem said, that's the first Rashi in Chumash, I created the world, I gave the land to whom I wanted, and I took it away from whom I wanted. I gave the land to B'nai Yisrael, I told them to conquer the land. We have a divine right. We have a divine right to conquer Eretz Yisrael and remove the inhabitants. That's our right. There are conditions. If they want to live there in peace, they can live there in peace with us, but we have a right to drive them out. But Seir is not our Yerusha. Seir belongs to Esav. So here it's not so simple for us to go into another man's land and conquer that land. But they did so. Now why did they do so? It appears because they were from Amalek. And Amalek, we're not just dealing with ordinary people from the nation of Esav. We're dealing with specifically Amalek. We're going to see soon. And Amalek, we have a right Timcha Zeicher Amalek. We have a right to wipe out Amalek. So this is also not an illegal act. When they hand min b'nei Shimon, holchu lahar seir, and how many people? A small group. Anoshim chamesh meos. Uf, and who was the leaders? Uf Latya, Unearya, Urifaya, Uziel, Bnei Yishi Berosham. Four people, the children of Yishi, were the leaders. Now this is very interesting. We have a machlokes in the Rishonim, who these people, who these leaders were. Now remember, we're dealing with Shimon. Shimon is desperate for land. There are 500 people. They want to conquer land. Who is going to serve as their generals? Four people, all the children of Shimi, Yishi. Who is Yishi? Machlokes. Some learn it was someone from Menashe, a different shevet. They hired him, or he voluntarily allowed himself to be the leader of the Bnei Shimon. Why? Because Amalek only falls in the descendants of Bnei Yosef. Yosef is the one who, it's a chazal, V'hoyah beis Yaakov l'esh beis Yosef l'hova, there's a chazal that Amalek will fall into the hands of Bnei Yosef. So they, if they want to go to Har Seir and they want to succeed in conquering Amalek, you have to have a leader who comes from the children of Yosef, and in this case Menashe. Yishi was a descendant of Menashe, and his children are going to lead the 500 people of Shimon to conquer the land of Amalek.
Interpreted in the future.
Okay, so here maybe they felt they were living in the future. They were coming to the time of Geula. I don't know the answer. Or other Rishonim learned that this is not from Menashe, this was Yehuda. Since Shimon was living together with Yehuda, the talent came from Yehuda. They lent them some talent. You can have our four leaders. They will be your general in conquering the land of Amalek. In other words, that was part of the arrangement. Shimon, you gotta leave. Shimon says, we have nowhere to go. So they say, so go conquer Amalek. We don't have the manpower, we don't have the skills, we don't have the talent. Okay, we'll give you. We have here some four generals. These are very skilled people. They know how. They have a PhD in war and fighting. They will be your command center. They will help you conquer the land of Har Seir.
Since it's a mitzvah to wipe out Amalek.
Amalek, yeah.
That's why
they were allowed to.
That's not their territory.
It's not territory, right. That's what I'm saying. So Amalek is Timcha, it's not illegal. If you learn that Bnei Cham was part of the Eretz Yisrael, then they're permitted. That's a divine right to wipe out Bnei Cham. But going to Har Seir, that's not so simple. That belongs to Esav. But if this was from the family of Amalek, Esav is a subcategory of Amalek, then that's also a divine right. Timcha Zecher Amalek. Okay, so let's see the verse over here. They sent 500 people. Pasuk Mem Gimel. Vayaku es she'eris ha'pleito la'amalek. And what did they do in Har Seir? They wiped out whatever was left over in Amalek, because we know that Amalek was not completely wiped out during the time of the Shoftim. And the Shoftim, during that 400 period of time, there were pockets of Amalekim that were still alive. Vayeshvu sham ad hayom hazeh. Let's see the Tzudos. Umehem. These four people who were children of Yishi were the leaders. What Shaul and David did not succeed in wiping out from Amalek. Every male of the Edom, v'amolek who mibnei Edom, and Amalek is part of Edom. Adem azeh ki chazul l'shev espok asher shav b'bav. This means that even after there was galus, the churban bayis rishon for 70 years, when they came back during the time of Ezra, this is a very interesting pasuk. It's telling us that these people who are really from Shevet Shimon, and even though we assume that Shevet Shimon was part of the Aseres Hashvatim that went into Golis, obviously there were some people that were, did not go into Golis, and we know that doesn't mean every single member of Shevet Hashvatim went into Golis. There were definitely people that remained, but after they came back during the time of Ezra, they came back to resettle the land in Seir that they conquered during the time of Chizkiyahu. Let's see the Rashis. The Rashis, there aren't that many Rashis. Let's finish up. We did Lam Gimel. We didn't do Lam Gimel? We did Lam Gimel. Sorry, Mem Gimel. But yeah, no, before we have to the base of us and parts of the world. Let's look from Lamedal. Let's look from Lamedal. Lamedal. Just a few, very few. Umeshayvav. V'chol aksuvim. Okay, Lamed Ches. Elu habayim b'shemos nesim b'mishpachosim. These distinguished leaders, they went to conquer land. Ubeis avosem parts of the world. Lo hayulohem makom leyeshev. They didn't have enough place to live in Yehuda. Vayelchu alkein. Therefore. They didn't have enough place to live in Yehuda, they went to this place to find a place to live. Because Bnei Cham were living there in peace and tranquility, no one ever came to harm them. They were not careful. They were vulnerable. When the Bnei Shimon came to fight against them, they were vulnerable. We find this concept in Sefer Shoftim. Different nations were very vulnerable to attack because they did not have the experience in protecting themselves. For example, Vayivod Laish, they came to Laish. Why was it called Laish? Al Am Sheket Ubateach. To a nation that was tranquil, the davar ein lohem im adam lefi shahayu shketim lohayu yudayim, because they were in a state of peace, they were not afraid. Velo karsu bris im shum adam, they never forged a treaty with another nation to protect them in time of difficulty. Leezram, therefore lefichach nitzchom oisam chamish meos. That's how 500 people were able to conquer a small amount. Vegam ksiv vegam leshem kemishpat sidayim sheket. Another example you find in Shevtim, another nation that was tranquil, they were able to be conquered. Mem Gimel, Vayaku Shesha Plata, Mehach Rosas David, Ki David Hichwis Kol Zoch of Edom. David wiped out all of the males of Edom, but he left over a few, and now they came to finish off the job and to settle in their land. Okay, so this is a very interesting history of Shevet Shimon living with Yehuda. Came a time they had to leave, and they went to conquer the land of Chom, the son of Noach, and they also went to conquer part of Amalek, who helped them. Either Menashe helped them, or according to the other Mefarish, Yehuda helped them conquer the land, and that's where they settled, and they came back to resettle after the Churban Bayis Rishayim. Okay, let's stop here. We're up to Perek Hey.